I've kind of been playing around.
This is Mike Kane, Sal Berrigan, coming to you for live from Comic-Con 2014 here with Dan Juergens. Dan, you have written some amazing things. You're working on the new 52 Future's End right now. How is it working with a cult classic like Batman Beyond and bringing him back to future time right now?
Oh, it's a lot of fun. And obviously, I think part of the magic was getting Batman Beyond brought into the regular DC universe somehow, which is obviously why he was on the cover, because we knew that was something everybody has been wanting to see somehow. And I think we kind of tricked people a little bit into a different kind of story because it's 5 years from now. But at the same time, I think that is going to allow us to take the story in a very special direction.
That's great. We're excited for that. You wrote some of the most amazing stuff in the 90s. That's when I was really into comic books. So it's really a pleasure to get to meet you now, especially things like The Death of Superman. So how was that conversation going into that, saying, hey, we're actually going to kill off this iconic character? And how did you guys come to that conclusion?
Oh, you know, the idea of doing something with The Death of Superman is something we had kicked around a couple of times in various meetings and things. And as we were trying to find something to do in Superman 75, we had had some prior plans that we had to put aside for a bit. So we started saying, what can we do? Because with an issue like 75 or 100, you know, it's a bit notable. You want to do something special. And we started talking about The Death of Superman. We started talking about a hulking beast that later became Doomsday. And more than anything, I think what we really got excited about were the stories we would do afterwards, which were the world without a Superman. Because that's where you really started to, I think, address the essence of the character.
All right. That's really neat. So what made that death so different from every other death? You know, what we see is comic characters die all the time and they come back. But when Superman died, it made national headlines. What made that so different, and why do you think that hasn't been able to be duplicated since then?
Well, there are several reasons. First of all, it's Superman. And Superman holds a very special status in terms of all comic book characters out there, I think, so that was part of it. The other part of it is, to get back what I talked about earlier, a lot of what we were writing about was a world without a Superman. So you're saying, what does Superman mean to us? And at the same time as we were writing those stories, or those stories were appearing, you know, there were columns in the New York Times and virtually every paper in the country saying, well, if they take Superman away, what does that say about us? What does it mean? So we had this really nice dovetailing between fiction and reality. And so they helped us. I think we helped them. But it made it a very special, unique event, and there will never be anything like that in comics again.
So speaking of a unique event, you also worked on DC versus Marvel, which is really another iconic series. What was the communication like between the two companies to actually make this come together and work?
It was actually very good. I mean, everybody involved had a good relationship. And if you look at the writers were Ron Mars and Peter David. They were both working at both companies. I had just done some Spider-Man stuff at Marvel and things like that. So we all got along very well. And the relationship was really quite strong between the companies. And a lot of it was, how can we have fun with this? And if you sit down in a room and everyone's talking about how much fun a project is going to be, and you're looking to extract the fun that is there and really get it on the page, then everyone's got the same goal. So it was a great opportunity and a lot of fun to do.
So speaking of a fun character, you created Booster Gold, who's been around for a while now. He's really kind of a fun character. What was the inspiration for him?
Booster Gold dates back to, say, 84 and 85. And at that time, we did not have the celebrity culture quite that we have as we know it now. But at the time, we were just starting to see, I think, the beginnings of some real crass commercial attitudes out there. And prior to that, athletes had been unable to sign any kind of professional contract or anything like that for endorsement purposes. If they were Olympic athletes, they had to retain their amateur status. And that had been waived, and all of a sudden they were starting to talk about various athletes who hadn't even won medals yet starting to line up their contracts. And at the time, that was a little shocking. Now it's like everyday business. And so just, yeah, those were kinds of the very seeds of thought of Booster Gold. And I just started building upon that and said, what if we had a superhero who operated that same way?
You also got to work on Ben Reilly back during the Clone Saga and all that stuff going on. How was it working on that? Because it was kind of this great series that everybody everybody loved, but it started to really branch out so far and beyond, and there were so many comics that started coming to play, and everybody had to follow those. What was it like working with that character, though, and building on him?
The interesting thing about Ben Reilly is that it was basically set up that even then, I think Marvel was looking to get out of the Peter Parker marriage to Mary Jane Watson. And I think they wanted a younger, single Spider-Man. So they wanted to do this, the clone, the Ben Reilly story, and say, this will be our Spider-Man going forward. And so it was a lot of fun to work on that kind of a Spidey again, where you had young, single Spider-Man, who was a little more unique, I think, that way. And, you know, for a while, Marvel really wanted to go there. And Peter and Mary Jane were going to go live in Paris or something and just let it go for a while. Eventually, they chose not to go that way. But for a brief time, I think fans really enjoyed this idea that here's a new Spider-Man. And now, every time I look at Marvel, it's this new guy is Spider-Man and that new guy is Spider-Man. So they obviously picked up on some of those sensibilities. Not saying our idea, but there is something about that that always works, where after Peter Parker ages, how do we make him fun and young?
So Aquaman has taken some gruff over time, but the newer incarnations of him have actually gotten some great reviews. How do you take Aquaman now and make him appeal to the masses?
I think part of what makes Aquaman work now is right when we launched the New 52, Geoff Johns and Ivan Reis were doing the Aquaman book, and they took those very attitudes you talked about head on. And so Aquaman, you know, right in that first issue, if you remember, he showed up on the street and people were kind of, oh, that's Aquaman, you know, he can swim and talk to fish, whatever. And they made him a little bit more badass right from the start. And on top of that, they have done such a great job of defining Mira as a character that helps define Aquaman's sensibilities as well. And all of a sudden, he seems much more regal. He seems much more powerful and self-confident and all that stuff than he did before. And I think the magic is they took it head on and they said, now we're going to address this in issue one. And ever since then, it's been much easier to deal with. And that has allowed us to portray a different kind of Aquaman. So they, you know, I owe it all to Jeff. I mean, he just did it and had all cylinders firing. I'm just picking up on some of what he did.
And if you had a brand new fan who had never read your work before, what would you recommend they read first?
Oh, probably, I would probably say The Death of Superman, just because it was a beginning, a middle, and end in terms of a story. Very self-confined, and I think it also captures real well a particular era in comics, and it wasn't just me. There are a lot of guys who worked on that book, and I think we, as a group, were working in a very special way that really made the story come off.
Well, Dan, thank you very much for the interview.
My pleasure.
Mike Kay and Sal signing off from Inside Pulse.